Amen. Are you guys ready for Thanksgiving? Yes. Three of you will praise the Lord. Is anyone excited about Thanksgiving? Yeah. Yeah. You know, I get excited this time of year because, first of all, it means that there's only a few days left before Christmas. 35 days, I think, you're going to be celebrating Christmas. I hope to celebrate it with you. And then there's like 41 days left in this year. This has been, I think, the fastest year that I have ever seen in my life. It's just zoomed by, hasn't it? And not only that, you know, when you think about, as I set up our message here, you know, I don't know why. I don't know if it's in my DNA. I don't know if it's just I'm a weird person. But I am weird, thank you, okay? But I get reflective. I become reflective, okay? During this, I don't know why. When the holidays start approaching, I don't know if it's something, I don't really know. It doesn't matter why. I just start thinking about things. And, you know, I look back and I think, you know, about, for example, when I came into this life, when I was born, and not that, you know, I reflect on that often because I don't really remember it, if you know what I'm saying. But do you know that when I was born, there was only 2.5 billion people on the planet? Isn't that amazing? Of course, I was, like I told the early service, I was born 85 years after the Civil War ended, but they didn't know what the Civil War was, so they didn't get it. And neither does this side. Okay, I got it. But I want you to listen. Do you know as of Tuesday this year, November the 15th, listen, the Earth population is now over 8 billion, and it is expected to peak at 10.4 billion in 2086. It says it took 12 years for the population to grow from 7 billion to 8 billion. The largest population increase in the human history has occurred over the last 70 years and is not likely to be duplicated again. Now, those were according to the United Nations Population Division. And so I think about sometimes, I get reflective and I start thinking about this world that I live in and about growing up, and I don't recognize this world anymore. I just don't understand it. And it's okay, I'm older now, I can talk like that, can I? Yeah, and I try to understand, I try to relate to the unbelievable events that are taking place, and I know that this generation will never experience the youth of my generation. Does that make sense? When I say youth, I mean the childhood. You know, back when you could run and play, and you never wore shoes, when you got a dirty ring around your neck and nobody cared. Do you understand? When you could go outside and nobody, you know, there was no machine guns guarding your house, you know what I'm saying, and all of those. And, you know, back, I remember, and I'm going to be nostalgic, so just bear with me, we'll get into the Word. I remember when this church wasn't even here. Because, see, when I was a little boy, I would go from Fort Worth when I was 6 years of age, 7 years of age. I'd get on my bicycle, not downtown Fort Worth, but nearly, and drive all the way to Keller on my bike to see my grandmother. And those are the happiest memories. Out of all my teen years and young years, that was the happy time. There's something about grandmothers, amen? I'd go out to the farm, man, I'd drive, you know how you do the slide with the bike, you know, and she knew that Billy Boy, he was there, and, you know, I never went hungry at my grandmother's, never. There was always food, and when you hugged her, she smelled like Ben Gay, you know what I'm saying? It was a great smell, you know? And you know, she never wore glasses, but she had cataracts. And so she had this gigantic magnifying glass. I mean, it was, and when she wanted to scare me, she'd hold up her face and look at me, you know. Do you know that there was not on 377 when I was growing up, when I was a little boy on my bike, there was not one red light all the way to Denton? All the way to Denton. It was all farmland. And this church wasn't even here. I passed by. Here I am preaching it. Isn't that weird? Now, I said all of those things to say this. You know, I don't identify with this generation. I don't understand it, really. But the generation, the younger generations here, they live in it. And this is all they have. It's not their fault. Does that make sense? And so this is the only culture that young people, the only world they know. They don't know the world I came from. Does that make sense? And I look at all that and I say, oh Lord, the world that they live in. See, they haven't lived long enough to look back to see, oh man, the good old days. You know, but the fact of the matter is, they live today, our young people, in a digital world. It's a scary world to me, a world of apps, a world of Facebook and Instagram and emojis and you know, all the rest of the stuff, the instant information. And listen carefully now, 8 billion people on our planet now. And did you know that 52% of the 8 billion people on our planet are younger than 32? Younger than 32. Think of that. There was a new study that was just released talking about now the internet and all the stuff that's going on. A new from Harmony Healthcare. It says that 42% of Generation Z, now that's people born between 1997 and 2012, have been diagnosed with mental health condition. Think about that, 42%. And the most frequently cited condition were, number one, anxiety, then depression, which were reported by 90% of the respondents. It says many have made a connection to their poor mental health with social media. And more than half, 57%, said they had to take a break from social media for their mental health, while another 36% reported that they deleted their social media account to protect their mental health. That's amazing, isn't it? Listen, you know, depression is a true, you can get depressed. You can have anxiety, amen? And I look at our younger generation, and I'm not comparing them to me or any of those things. I didn't know what anxiety really was when I was a kid. Do you understand? I didn't know all those big words. Of course, you know, I didn't even know what a Democrat was either, or a Republican, thank God. You know, and it was different back then. And I think about where our kids right now, the world, you're included, every adult, every young person, you're moving into a whole new world right now. The futuristic world, which is already here. And that is a whole new world of technology. Don't worry, this is a Thanksgiving message. Just bear with me. And it is this. I mean, listen, how about the XR, or extended reality, which integrates the five senses, that's sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, or AR, that's another one, augmented reality. And I don't know anything about those things except the definition, okay? An interactive experience that combines the real world and computer-generated content. And then there's the MR, which is mixed reality, the merging of a real-world environment and a computer-generated one. Physical and virtual objects may coexist in mixed reality environments and interact in real time. And then there is VR, virtual reality, a simulated experience that gives the user an immersive feel of a virtual world. It says a person using virtual reality equipment, that's the, you know, that whatever you put on your head and your hands or something. Y'all know what I mean? A person using virtual reality equipment is able to look around the artificial world. They're able to move around in it and interact with virtual features or people or items. Now, will an artificial world, which is not real, amen? It's not a real reality. It's artificial. Okay. Will it be a positive or negative impact on people, and especially the young people today in their mental state? How will people act in that environment? I was just informed a moment ago that you can go into this, whatever it's called, the metaverse and all those things, and you can actually sexually assault people in a virtual reality. Now, I don't know what that means, but how in the world does that happen? We're already an angry nation. Amen? You look around us. Let's don't put our head in the sand. And I look at all these things, and I don't want to sound like a pessimist, because I am not a pessimist, you know what I mean? But I want to tell you something on this Thanksgiving week. The world that we live in, loved one, it's not going to get any better. Bill, that is just so negative. This is Thanksgiving. Hello? Well, let's listen to Jesus for a moment, shall we? Jesus said this in Matthew 24:7, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Is that pessimism or truth? Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, "And then there will be great tribulation, such that has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, I've been here 5 minutes, and I know there's someone in the audience right now. They're going to say, hey, Bill, listen, I think you and me, we need to talk turkey, okay? Because I must have misunderstood you at the beginning, because you said this is your annual Thanksgiving sermon. And Bill, I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, the holiday. It's my favorite holiday. All the family, all the people, the turkey, the dressing, the giblet or giblet, I don't know which one you use, gravy. Okay, the cranberries, oh, the pies, and oh, the long, long, long nap after I stuff myself. I'm so sorry. You know, I apologize. See, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving the holiday. I want to ask you a question now. Do you love Thanksgiving? Or do you love Thanksgiving? Do you love Thanksgiving? Or do you love Thanksgiving? There's a big difference, amen? And I want to talk to you this morning about thanksgiving unto our Savior, amen, unto the Lord. And here's the deal. We are in Revolution 2022 to 2024. Mark my words. We are entering 2023. And unless the Lord tarries, we will. If he doesn't, we're going home. But it's going to require something. 2023 is going to require a revolutionary spiritual mindset on your part. And why do I say that? Because I promise you, you are going to face circumstances and battles in this life. Amen? Well, you're going to face battles and circumstances and heartaches. They're there. They're in 2023. And what's going to happen if we don't get our mind right now, as we face these battles and these circumstances, it's going to make the thanksgiving that we offer to God, it might just wax it cold. Does that make sense? And we don't want that to happen. See, we have to start believing right now for 2023 that the giving of thanks unto God is the work. You've heard me say prayer is the work, amen? Well, it is the work, but also prayer and thanksgiving, do they go together? Yes. Absolutely, so that's important. Are you at Psalm 100? Here's a psalm that's dedicated totally and only to God. And it's a command, by the way. Say that word with me, a command. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, meaning all the land means not just Israel, okay, all the world. And that word literally means make a joyful shout. Praise the Lord. Give thanks unto his Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. I hope you do. Come before his presence with singing. We did that this morning. Know that the Lord, he is God, and that he has made us and not we ourselves. We are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. Praise the Lord. We believe that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Did you do that this morning? I mean, really, did you? When you came in, now there, of course, that's the temple we're speaking of in Jerusalem, but did you come into his house this morning with thanksgiving in your heart, ready to do that? Did you come into his courts with praise? That means the giving of thanksgiving. And look at the next verse. And be thankful to him. Bless his name. Why? Well, for the Lord is good. His mercy is eternal or everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Listen, you know, I know that we give thanks unto our Father in heaven, unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy of our thanks. Amen? Man, listen, God is good. He saved us. Heaven is our home. Hell is not our home, loved one. We should be the most thankful people on this planet. But here's the problem. I want you to listen now because we're going, very important word. It's so interesting to me that the one who saved me, who washed away all of my sins, who died for me on the cross, who made me a co-heir and a son of the living God, who's written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and promised that no one would ever snatch me out of his hand, he gives us the Holy Spirit gives us a command that we must give thanks unto God. Well, I give thanks unto God for what I just mentioned. Amen? And I say, Lord, why did you do that? Why would the Holy Spirit make the giving of thanks to God a command? Well, he's teaching us something. The Bible, another command, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice in all things. Well, we know that our rejoicing, our giving of thanks is always the object, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 4:4, amen? But then it goes on, it says, now listen carefully, another command, it says, of course, pray without ceasing and all that, but then it goes to verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. Now let's stop right there. Can anyone define the word everything? What does that mean? Everything. Are you right? Now, did you get that? Everything. In everything. In everything. Here comes the command. Listen carefully. In everything, give thanks. It did not say for everything, but it says in it. In everything, give thanks. Why? Loved one, listen to me. For this, it says, is the will of God in for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the will of God for you in everything, not for it, but in it. Everything, give thanks. Listen, that is an amazing command. It is a command. Why would God, listen, why would God, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, why would God give this command? Why would the power of the Holy Spirit move upon Paul the apostle to pen that scripture to a church in Thessalonica that is enduring severe persecution and severe hardship because of Christ Jesus for his sake? Why would he do that? We need to learn this morning because we're moving into 2023. Boy, I'll tell you, this is a word from God. And I look and I say, Lord, why would you do that? It doesn't make, does that make sense in the natural realm? No. I mean, if I'm going through persecution, I want to start thanking, oh, Lord, I'm thanking you in it. I want to say, I want you to get me out of it. And so I look and I say, Lord, what's going on here? How do I figure this out? Well, loved one, this is the starting point. The verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, is the starting point for the revolution in 2023. The giving of thanks in all things, not for them, but in them. See, the Bible, what did Paul the Apostle write in Ephesians 5:20? He says this, giving thanks always, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that make sense? That doesn't make sense to me in the natural realm. Or my flesh, do you understand? It doesn't make sense at all. But here's what I want you to find out, and I want you to know. When, or why, or where did Paul the Apostle pen Ephesians 5:20? Where was he? Where was he? He was in prison in Rome, his first imprisonment. Would you, if you were writing a letter to somebody, would you say, hey, man, you know what? All things, here I am. I'm chained to a guard 24/7. I don't have any freedom. And he says, I want you to give thanks. That's a command. Always. Giving thanks always for all things. How about this 2,000-year-old command that you know very well that you use, I'm sure, often? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, be anxious. Don't be torn apart. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. You've been obedient to that one? Be anxious for nothing. Okay, well, what are we to do? He says, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with what?
Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a minute. You know, I am anxious, Lord. He says, no, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't do that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything that you are facing, everything that you're going through, he says, listen, but everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard, set a military arsenal, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's amazing how are we giving thanks in those areas? It is very important that we do that. How about this one? Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? And the disciples, the 12, came unto him, and they said, Lord, listen, we don't have any food. Look at all these people. He says, you know, we have nothing to feed them with and no place for them to lodge. Send them away that they'd go back into the city. You know, send that multitude away. What did Jesus say to them? He said, he looked at them and said, you feed them. I mean, how would you like that one? Huh? There you 5,000 people, you know, and he says, no, you feed them. You give them something to eat. And what did they say? Well, we don't have anything but this little boy, this little lad. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got two small fish. And that was a nice litter and a sardine, you know. Five loaves of bread. Barley, by the way, that's animal's food. Barley bread. That's all we have. Does that make sense what Jesus asked them to do? No, in the natural realm, it doesn't make sense. Why? Listen, the disciples, they didn't see 5,000 people. They saw 5,000 problems. And so what did Jesus say in John 6:11? Let me read. And then Jesus took the loaves, the fish, of course. And when he had given what? Can you believe that? What did he do? He knew exactly what to do. There was nothing there to feed them with. Nothing. Five pieces of bread and two small fish. He lifted that up and he gave thanks and he distributed them to the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, and they ate as much as they wanted. What is it about the giving of thanks unto God that moves God on your behalf? I don't understand it all. I'm still growing like you and still learning just like you are. But, you know, think about Paul the Apostle. He and Silas, there they are, they're coming through town. And remember that little a slave girl who was a fortune teller. She had the spirit of a Pythian spirit, the snake spirit, if you will. He cast that devil out of her, that demon out of her. And then the owner of the slave girl, they got all upset because now they couldn't make any money. And so, man, an uproar began in the city, and it says in Acts 16:22, and the multitude, boy, they rose up together against Paul and Silas, and they tore off their clothes. They stripped them, both Paul and Silas, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in a prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, the jailer put them in the inner prison. That's the lowest level. And then he did something else. He fastened their feet, it says in Scripture, in the stocks, the Roman stocks, if you will. Now listen, the inner prison, there was no air, hardly. It was a sewer. There was no light. And also there was no way to escape. Not in the inner prison, not in the dungeon. There was no way to get out. Only one way. And yet they took Paul, the jailer, and Paul and Silas, and they put them in the stocks. Now that was a form of horrible Roman punishment. They had already been beaten bloody. And the stocks were, you would sit down, like if I just sat down here, okay, just sat down, and my legs would be stretched out, and my arms would be stretched out, and there would be a big wooden board in front of me with holes in it, and they had holes far out. And so when you sat down, they would take your leg and they would stretch it to the farthest hole and strap you in. Then they'd take the other leg and put you as far as they could on that one, and then they would bend you over, put your head in the stocks, and then they would have holes for your arm, and they would stretch them to the farthest one, furthest whatever, and tie you in. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a bad situation to be in, isn't it? What would you do in that kind of situation? I mean, I look and I say, oh, Lord, here's what they did. The Scripture says that, but at midnight, in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, it says Paul and Silas, they were, number one, praying. Number two, they were singing hymns, giving thanks. They were singing hymns to God, and I love it. And the prisoners were listening to them. Literally, in the Greek, it would be listening to them with pleasure. You see, there's no light there. It's midnight. There's not any candles. There's nothing. They're in darkness. Everybody there is in total darkness. And here you have this couple, Paul and Silas. They're charged, but they're not guilty. And there they are in the stocks. And listen, is that pain real? Yes. What would you do if that was, what would you do? What did they do? You know what they did? They started singing in the darkness of the moment to each other. They could not even see their faces. Can you hear it? And they started singing and they started worshiping. They started quoting psalms, and I can probably tell you they started quoting psalms like, "Oh, the Lord is good. Give thanks unto the Lord." Are you listening to me? And then as they did that, what would you do? What's your theology in the midnight hour? What kind of song did they sing? I know what kind of song they sung. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and here it comes, spiritual songs. The spiritual song is a song given by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And it says, and they singing and making melody into your heart, giving thanks always for all things. Can you believe that? And here they are, that spiritual song only given by the Holy Spirit. And when it's given, it's supernatural, but it's also given for a divine purpose, loved one. One of my favorite scriptures is Job 35:10. God who giveth songs in the night, in your darkest hour. You know what? God has whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're going through, and you're going to face things in 2023 if Jesus doesn't come to take us home. He'll give you a song in the night when it's dark, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know which way to go. The Lord will do that for you. And not only that, giving thanks, it just said for all things. And what happened as they were giving thanks unto God? Let me read it to you. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And you know the rest of the story. The jailer got saved and his household got saved. They were all baptized. They washed off the blood and stuff off of Silas and Paul and patched them all up. But I'm going to ask you a question. To me, maybe not to you, but to me, it just doesn't make sense to give thanks to the Lord when everything in your life is falling apart, or does it? I'm not talking about just mental thinking. I'm talking about spiritual thinking. Do you understand? Listen, it doesn't make sense in the natural realm to give thanks unto God when you're suffering. Not in the natural, not in the flesh. When you've lost your job, when you're about ready to retire, and the next thing you know, they fire you right before you can get your retirement. Or your children are going through a bad season. Or you've lost the one that you love. Loved one, listen, when you're hurting, you know, do you give thanks unto God? Now, wait, listen carefully now. Not for it, but in it. There's something that we have to learn today about this. But before we do, let me say something. Giving thanks unto God in all things, not for all things, is not some magic formula. Does that, you know, get out of card, get out of jail free card? Do you understand? It's not a bargaining chip with God, but it is the perfect will of God for you to give thanks, isn't it? Okay, we just learned that. That's a command of whatever we're going to give thanks unto the Lord. Now listen, the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word, whatever you do in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All that you do, speak, all that you do, your deeds, words and deeds, that means everything, that's your entire life, loved one. He says, give thanks unto God. What if, starting today, and if the Lord doesn't take us home, and then in 2023, what if you started giving thanks to God in every battle, in every circumstance? Not for the battle, not for the circumstance, but while you are in it. Does that make sense? What if you started doing exactly what Paul and them were doing? Instead of saying, and I hope this is not you, why God, why me? Where are you? Why would you allow this to happen to me? I thought you loved me. I thought you cared for me. I hope that's not what you're saying when you go through these circumstances, these battles. Listen, but in every circumstance, giving thanks to God. Why? And here is the key. And I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to just hold your place in 2 Chronicles, and I want you to turn in the Psalms to Psalm 22. It's a messianic psalm, one of the greatest of all messianic psalms of Jesus on the cross, of course. However, what is listed in Psalm 22 happened to King David as well. And I want you to look at why, in every circumstance, giving thanks to God is so vital for the believer, especially as we move into 2023. And look at verse 3 with me. Psalm 22, 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the what? Enthroned in the praises of Israel. Enthroned in the praises of his church, if you will. Listen to me now. Something happens in the situation that you're in. No matter how dark it is, when you stop and you say, and you lift your hands or not lift them, but you start, Lord, I give you thanks, Father. And what happens? It says here that God is enthroned in the praises. The word enthroned in Hebrew means to dwell, to abide, to continue to abide, to be inhabited, if you will, and to remain. Amazing. It says that God remains where? In the praises. That word means adoration and thanksgiving that you give to God. Say, Lord, I am thankful. What does that mean? Listen to me now. It means this. In your circumstance, if you believe God's word, in whatever you're facing or going to face in your life, it says here, and a throne, by the way, is a verb. It's action. It says that whenever God's people, when we truly worship and exalt and give thanks unto his name, his kingdom rule is now invited into your battle, into your circumstance. God himself enthrones himself, remains in your circumstance. That's what the word of God teaches. Why? God's word is true and God is faithful. Amen. The psalmist said this in Psalm 92:1. Oh, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to his name, O Most High. Declare his loving kindness in the morning and at night. Declare his faithfulness. God is the faithful God. He cannot lie. Psalm 22:3 is a vital, vital psalm to know. Now, are you in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? Okay, verse 1. Now let's make application about when we're going through a battle and see what God does. Amen? So we're going to look at Jehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat, whichever you prefer. He was, of course, one of the great kings of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. He was loved the Lord. He was a good king. And not only that, he did major reforms in the land of Judah. He tore down all the wooden idols and he got the people back worshiping the Lord again, back into the word of God. And he got the singers together and the Levites together, all those things. And it says then, beginning in verse 1, and it happened after this, meaning after all the reforms that the king did, that the people of Moab and Ammon and others with them, the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now, those are all of Israel's ancient enemies. And then some came, those were the scouts, if you will. Then some came, and what? Well, they told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are at Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. So of Judah's enemies, they're right at the door of Jerusalem, if you will. Man, they're closing in on the city, and they're surrounding the city. They want to destroy them. They want to kill them, if you will. Now, do you ever feel like the enemy's doing that to you? Do you ever feel like I can't take one more circumstance in my life? You remember what circumstance means in Latin? The things that surround you, the things that you look this way, there's a circumstance, there's another one. And is it overwhelming? You know, when it rains, it pours. Remember that? If you're from Texas, you know what that means. Now, what is your plan? What do you do? God is going to give you a battle plan right now, loved one. You need it. You have to have it. You have to implement it in your life. And so let's look at the battle plan. It says in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat, he feared. That's not a bad thing. He wasn't afraid. He was afraid. He needed God. And he set himself to do something, to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. Does that sound like a great battle plan to you? If I had been the king, I would have probably, how many armed men do I have? How many weapons do I have? I need a map. Who are we up against? What kind of an army are we facing? But he didn't do that. He was a wise man. He was a kind of a revolutionary king. He understood to seek first the kingdom of God, didn't he? Amen? And that's exactly what he did. Then he called all the nation to start fasting and praying and reaching out to God. And that's a total, look at verse 4. That's a total commitment. A total commitment. He got them all together. So Judah gathered together and helped the Lord. I'm sorry, to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord's And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, listen to this great prayer now. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? What a prayer. God, Father, you dominate the affairs of every ruler of the entire world, of the entire universe. He says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary or a temple in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, if sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and watch and cry out to you in our circumstance, our battle, our affliction. And look what he says. And you will hear and you will save. Loved one, that is great faith. Amen. That's a prayer of great faith. He's saying, we're not able, but God, you're not able. You've heard my prayer, and I know that you're going to act. Verse 10, and now here are the people of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel, invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. And here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? I love what he's about to say. Oh, this is so wonderful. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Loved one, that's a great prayer. You know, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do anymore. You know, the longer I live, the more I know I don't know what to do. You know, and I say, Lord, but I know you know what to do. I don't know how to handle this, but I know that you know. And he says, but our eyes, Lord, they're all upon you. What do you put your eyes on when you're in a circumstance or a battle? What do you look to friends, which there's nothing wrong with that, but do you not look to God first? Boy, listen, our help cometh from the Lord, amen? He's the one that's going to take care of us. He didn't look to the visible. He didn't look at the problem. He looked to the solution. He looked to the invisible. He looked to God. And look at verse 13. Now, I'm going to cover these verses kind of quick. It says, and now all of Judah with their little ones and their wives, their children, what did they do? They stood before the Lord. And then watch what happened. Now then the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, okay, came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of da-da-da-da, all the way, and a Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. So listen, that's the Holy Spirit came upon him. He's a prophet. But let me ask you a question. Isn't the Holy Spirit our helper as well? Don't ever, ever discount the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We need him. We need all the gifts of the Spirit, loved one. Now, and he says, and he said to them, the prophet, he said, listen. I say that a lot, don't I? So I'm in good company. He said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. Now here comes the prophet. He says, do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude. for the battle is not yours, but God's. Can you believe that? You're surrounded by this army. They're going to kill everyone, children, women, everybody. He says, you're a spectator. You're not going to deliver one blow. He says, the Lord's battle. I'm going to ask you a question. How many battles has God lost? You got it. All right. He says, now, tomorrow, here's what I want you to do. Go down against them, and they'll surely come up when they see you. In other words, by the ascent of Ziz. And you'll find them there at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Now, here's what he says. But you'll not need to fight in the battle. Just position yourself. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, just go out against them. For the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground. All of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites, they stood up to what? What does that word mean? Give thanks, thanksgiving to the Lord, God of Israel, with voices. Their voices were loud, their voices were high. And so they rose up early in the morning, and they went out of the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, oh, hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Here's what they have to do. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets. Believe that prophetic word from God, and you shall prosper. Now watch what he does. Here comes the incredible plan. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and he appointed those who should praise the beauty of his holiness. Praise, give adoration, thanksgiving unto God. And watch this. And what did they do? Well, they went out before the army, and here's what they were saying. Praise the Lord, or give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I'm going to ask you a question now. How would you like him to appoint you to be in that praise band that's going to leave and go out, and that's all that's it. You're going out to face the multitudes, the enemies that is against Israel. And there they go. And how are they going? They're singing. I'm going to tell you something. It would do this church and every believer well to ponder the scripture I'm about to read to you. Because before us, there is not a stronger army on planet Earth than the one that we're about to see. And listen carefully. They went out, and there's no generals among them. They do have no weapons in their hands. The only people that went out who were appointed, one thing, worshipers. Worshippers who were giving thanks unto the God, to God in the circumstance, not for it, but in the circumstance that they faced with all of their enemies. And their only weapon, their only weapon was the giving of thanks unto God. And I look at this and I say, dear Lord, look at verse 22. And it says, now, when they begin to sing and praise, meaning to give thanks. Now, watch this. Only as they did that, only as they were giving thanks unto the Lord, look what God did. He says, now when they began to sing and praise or give thanks to the Lord, he set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? They were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. In other words, the enemies were fighting now, the enemies of Israel fighting each other. And it says, they killed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, look what they did. They helped destroy one another. Is that the wildest thing you've ever seen? That wasn't the 60s, loved one. That was, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so when Judah came to the place overlooking, here they are, they're singing, they're giving thanks unto God. And it says, and they overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and they were dead bodies. Well, they were fallen on the earth. And no one had escaped, meaning they were all dead. Drop down to verse 29. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord, what? Had fought against the enemies of Israel. And then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, and God gave him rest all around. Now listen to me. This is so important. Vital for us, loved one, as we enter into 2023. Listen, Israel's enemies destroyed themselves because they were in confusion. Does that make sense? That's exactly what happened. And you know, thanksgiving to God in your battle, it may not make sense in the natural realm, but here's what happens. Whenever you, here you are in this circumstance, you're not giving God thanks for it, but in it, something happens to our enemy, and the enemy is the wicked one. You confuse, like they did, the power of darkness, who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Let me tell you, now listen, you know as well as I do, whenever a circumstance, a heartbreak, a child, whatever it might be, whatever the circumstance that's overwhelming you, when it comes into your life, does the devil start attacking you? Does he want you to praise God? Does he want you to give thanks unto God? No, he wants to shut you down. He wants to keep your, he doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you opening your Bible. He wants you to be a defeated believer. Because see, he knows in the natural, it doesn't make sense. He understands that. But in the supernatural, it makes perfect sense. The reason I say that is that what I just read to you is a picture of what takes place when we are obedient to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. That this is a picture of what happens in the spiritual realm as we give thanks unto God, not for what's happening, but in what's happening. Does that make sense? Oh, and I say, oh God, I'm so thankful to know that. Why? For you are enthroned. You stop, you come, you continue, you remain, you inhabit. You are enthroned in the praises of your people. Amen? In other words, whenever we do that, loved one, we give thanks again, not for it, but in it to God. And what happens? We just invited the kingdom rule of God. He is enthroned in it with us. Enthroned in your battle. Enthroned in your circumstances. So therefore, I guess we need to conclude that it does make sense to give God thanks in the midst of our battle, but not for it. Amen? Do you agree with that? Yes. How do you really do that? Because I'm going to be honest. I don't have a problem. Well, I do have sometimes a problem praying, but praying is a discipline. Amen? I mean, it's a discipline. You do it. And after a while, you just do it because it's like working out. I've got to run 5 miles. Well, I've got to pray for 5 hours or an hour or 5 minutes, whatever it is. But how do we really do this in our lives? How do we look at it to know, to prompt us to do it? Number one, we know it's the will of God to give thanks in the circumstance, not for it. But the way to do it is to know in the natural realm it's going to be a sacrifice for you because your flesh says no. Does that, amen? Yeah. Well, three of you, you got it, okay. So what do? You have to look at sometimes in the battle when it happens. If you want God to really enthrone himself in your praises in the midst of your battle, okay, like he did for the King Jehoshaphat, then you've got to do something. You have to know, yeah, it is going to be a sacrifice. It is going to be a sacrifice to do that on your part. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, by Jesus, by our Lord, let us continually offer not just praise, but the sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving, adoration, if you will, to God. That is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks unto his name, okay? Why? It says, for such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Listen, you know, I know that you know that God loves you. Amen? That Jesus died for you. But do you believe with all of your heart, Romans 8:31? Do you believe that God is for you? No, I mean, he really is for you. He's for you right now. Yeah, but I'm in trouble. I'm doing things I shouldn't do. He's for you. He wants to forgive you and cleanse you. He wants you to walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. 2023 is here. Loved one. I won't go there. I'm not going. Listen. You have to know now who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to believe who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to believe no matter the circumstance, no matter the battle, no matter what you're facing, my God is for me. He is for me. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and thanks be unto God, our Father, who always, always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have to believe with all of your heart, Ephesians 1:3, that we have that God has pronounced you, the believer, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have to believe in 2023, loved one. You have to pick up the shield of faith. Above all things, Ephesians 16, above all things, taking up the shield of faith by which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked one. Do you really believe that? Because I'm telling you, the battle is coming. You have to believe in the battle. You have to believe what it means. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the wicked one touches us not. But boy, he wants to make, the devil wants to make him, you think he's touching you. But no, you're giving thanks, you see. You're letting God enthrone himself in your circumstance, your battle that you're going to be facing. You know, we believe, you have to believe with all of your hearts. First John 2:14, it says, young people, you are strong. And the reason you're strong is because of the word of God. You abide in the word of God and you have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who lives in you. Amen. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Do you believe that? I mean, listen, we don't have to fall apart in the battle. We have to give thanks to God in the battle because we're winning. We are winning. Why? Because God is working. Does that make sense? But if we do what he says as we move into this brand new year, in this revolution, loved one, I'm telling you, we're going to win. Jesus told us in John 16:33, he said, you're going to have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Amen. Amen? The Bible teaches us who we are. In 1 John, what does it say? 5:18. We know we are of God. We know that. Verse 19. And the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, but not you. No, not you. Loved one, we've overcome this world because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? The Bible teaches us. Do you believe that scripture? Listen, 1 John 5:4. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whoever is born again. That's the only qualification for overcoming this world. Whoever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And then it has a long dash, remember? Not our fighting. Not our pleading, not by being good enough. No, by faith, by simply believing it. And who is he who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Amen? Amen. Listen, we have to stand. We have to walk. We have to fight. We have to give thanks. And as we do that, I'm going to tell you, we will walk on water and we will the battle hurt? Yes, it's going to hurt. Will it depress you? Yes, it's going to depress you at times. But you won't have the victory in it unless you give thanks to God. You have to do that now. We have to move to that level. Because I tell you, like the old saying, new levels, new devils. Amen? We have to do that. Yeah. Let me give you one more scripture. Psalm 107:8. I love this scripture. It's a cry, if you will, from the psalmist, because he starts out and he goes, oh, he does, you know, when you say, oh, that's how it is. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then verse 22 of the same psalm, here it is. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. You want to know about the Old Testament Thanksgiving sacrifice? Go do a study later on. I think it's, I don't know, Leviticus 7:12, right? You can do it, you know, loving Leviticus. You'll enjoy it. Are you ready to fight God's way? Our worship, we should explode. We need to explode because that's when God inhabits the praises of his people. We've got to come before him and drop everything when we walk into that door and say, Lord, I am here to worship you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. From my home to yours, Rebecca and I wish you a Thanksgiving filled with thanks to God, giving thanks to him. Loved one, listen, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Everything you have, God has given you. You didn't sweat for it. I know you're going to get mad at me. Send me an email. It's okay. It's thomas@loveneverfails.com. Yeah, listen, we all work. Oh, yeah, I did it. No. Uh-uh. You study out Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is God who gives the power to get well. Not you. It's God. Everything we have. If you eat turkey, or maybe you don't like turkey, maybe you're vegetation. Maybe you're what's the word I'm trying to use? Vegetarian. Well, eat those carrots. Eat that steamed broccoli. Don't put butter on it or squeeze lemon on it. No, you don't want to defile it. But everything, the car you're driving, the clothes on your back, the air that you are breathing, belongs to God. You belong to God. This place here belongs to God. And I'm thankful. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. I pray that you have a great Thanksgiving, that you enjoy one another, that you enjoy every sunrise, every sunset. Enjoy living. Living. God is for you. Everything's going to work out. Let's just trust the Lord. Amen. Let's don't lean upon our own understanding. Let's just trust the Lord. Let's just acknowledge him in all of our ways. He'll take care of our paths. Amen. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. I pray this morning, Lord, for anyone here in this chapel. If Jesus Christ is not their Lord, I pray that when the service concludes, when the song is over, I pray they would come to this altar and talk to the those that are here at the altar to pray with them. And they'll lead them to Jesus Christ. And you'll walk out of this place a brand new creation. I give you thanks, Lord. I give you thanks for your word. For you teach us how to battle. You teach us how to stand. And you cannot lie. And we love you, Lord. We praise you. And we truly give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? If you're visiting with us for the very first time, I'm going to be departing over to the main lobby. They have a free gift they'd love to give you. I'd love to meet you as well. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Let's sing, Jesse, and take us home.